The final mission of the Perek continues the theme of the Perek, which discusses cases where somebody violates multiple prohibitions, either in the same single act or in multiple different acts, in cases where all of the prohibitions were violated behelem echad, in one period of being unaware, which means that he didn't become aware at all in the middle or in between performing one act and another, that these acts are forbidden, and how many korbanos chatos he would be obligated to offer up and bring to atone for his forbidden actions. And although in general we've already seen that if somebody violates the same prohibition multiple times, behelem echad, again, that means that he doesn't find out in the middle of performing any of the actions or in between them that it's forbidden. If it's the same prohibition, then he would only be liable to bring one korban chatos to atone for all of those acts. Because essentially, that's all as a result of one mistake that he didn't realize that it was forbidden. This mission is going to discuss an exception to that rule, and that is breaking Shabbos. Although one who violates Shabbos is, in essence, violating only one prohibition, there are 39 different categories of melacha, of type of works, which are forbidden on Shabbos, corresponding to the 39 forms of work which are performed in the Mishkan. And if somebody performs different types of work on Shabbos, different forms of the 39 categories of forbidden work, he would be liable to bring a korban chatos for each of those categories that he violates. And those 39 categories are known as avos melachos, which literally means the father forms of work. That refers to the main categories. Now, there are many, many more than 39 types of things which are forbidden on Shabbos, but they all fit into one of these 39 categories. And things which were not actually performed in the Mishkan, but are similar to that which was performed in the Mishkan, those would be forbidden and they would fit into one of those categories. Forms of work like that, which were not performed in the Mishkan, but are only similar to that which was performed in the Mishkan, those are known as toldos, which is a form of work which resembles that which was done in the Mishkan, but wasn't actually performed in the Mishkan. Now, obviously, as we have seen, for the vast majority of averus, sins, one is only liable to bring a korban chatos if he performed that sin by mistake. When it comes to violating Shabbos, one can become liable to bring a korban chatos in one of two ways. Either his mistake was the fact that he didn't realize that it was Shabbos that day. He knew that it was forbidden, for example, to plant on Shabbos, but he didn't realize that that day was Shabbos, so he went and planted. And later on, he found out that it was Shabbos and that he's liable to bring a korban chatos. The second form of mistake that he can make is for him to know that it's Shabbos, but he doesn't realize that that kind of work is forbidden. And there's a very important difference between the two. As the Mishnah, the beginning of the seventh parak of Maseches Shabbos, explains that if his mistake was that he didn't realize it was Shabbos, so even if he performs multiple categories of work, more than one of the avos melachos, the 39 categories of forbidden work on Shabbos, he would still only be liable to bring one korban chatos, because his mistake was essentially just one mistake, that he didn't realize that it was Shabbos that day. On the other hand, if he knew that it was Shabbos, but he didn't realize that the work which he was performing was forbidden, so in this case, the point of his mistake is in terms of that category of work. He didn't realize that that type of work was forbidden, and in that case, he would be liable to a new korban chatos for every category of work. If he performed multiple kinds of work on Shabbos, he would be liable to a new korban chatos for each category of work. This mission is going to explore two more details in this area. Om Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva said, Sh'altis Rabbi Eliezer, I asked the following question to my teacher Rabbi Eliezer. Ha'oseh melacha harbeh b'Shabbos harbeh. One who performs multiple kinds of work on multiple different Shabbosos. And the Gemara explains that this is already one question itself. Rabbi Akiva was asking two questions. We're going to explain the first question now. We said that if the point of his mistake was that he didn't realize it was Shabbos, so even if he performs multiple different forms of work, he would only be liable to one korban chatos. What happens if you repeated that mistake the next week as well? And he didn't find out in that week, in between the two Shabbosos, about his mistake at all. So it could be that it's all based on the same miscalculation. He missed a day or something, and he thought that Friday was Shabbos, and he ended up missing 2 weeks. 2 weeks went by where he thought that it was not Shabbos, and he performed work on that day. And let's imagine that he even performed exactly the same type of work on both weeks. The question is, in this case, is he liable to two korbanos chatos for each of the weeks, both Shabbosos? Or, since at the end of the day, it's the same prohibition which he repeated twice, he broke Shabbos based on the same mistake, So he'll only be liable to one korban chatos. That's the first question of Rabbi Akiva. The second question is, if on the same Shabbos, he performed forbidden work more than once. However, the forms of work that he performed were both in the same category of forbidden work. He performed two toldos, two things which were not actually performed in the Mishkan, but they resemble something which was performed in the Mishkan, and both of these fit into the same category. For example, let's say he cut wood and he cut his hair. Neither of those things are any of the 39 main categories. They weren't done in the Mishkan, but they both fit into one category, and they resemble something which was done in the Mishkan. In this case, if it was done me'emeloch aras, two different works, he performed work twice, and they were both within the same category of work. Behelem echod, in one period of being unaware, he didn't find out in between the two acts that what he was doing was forbidden. Mahu, what is the law with regards to his liability to bring karbona? Yischaiv achas al kulon, is he liable to just one karbon chatas for all of them? Meaning for both Shabbosos that he made a mistake on, or for both of those actions which fit into one category of work, or is he liable to a new korban chatos for each of those actions that he performed? Omar Li, Rabbi Eliezer said to me, Rabbi Akiva, he's liable to a different korban chatos for each forbidden action that he performed. And I derive this from an argument of all the more so. Umoim ha-nido. If with regards to a nido that we learned a couple of Mishnahs ago, that if somebody has relations with five different women who are all his wives, in those days it was forbidden to have five wives, and all five of them were tomei as a nido, it's a certain impurity which a woman might have, and it's forbidden to have relations with a nido. If he had relations with five women who were all a nido, he essentially performed exactly the same forbidden act five times with five different people. Now, in terms of this prohibition of having relations with a nido, there aren't many different cases and different ways to be liable to a korban chatos. It's quite simple. There's one sin to have relations with her. So we see that there aren't lots of separate different things within this prohibition, and yet he is liable for each and every time that he had relations with those five different women. Meaning he's liable for the relations he had with the five women. So Shabbos, when it comes to breaking Shabbos, there are many different cases and different ways to become liable to different number of korbanos chatos. Shabbos is full of separate laws and things being different from each other. Eino din, so it's not all the more so, sheyechayv al kol achas v'achas. They should be liable for each and every act that he performed in violating the Shabbos. Continues the Mishnah, Amarti loy, I, Rabbi Akiva, said to Rabbi Eliezer, loy, that's not a good argument, because im amarta ban nida, if you know that the law with regards to nida, having relations with the five women who are all considered a nida, makes him liable to five different karbonos. Over there, I can explain logically why that's the case, because sheyesh bo shtei azharos, there are two different prohibitions violated in that act, because shehum uzar al nida, he is forbidden to have relations with a nida, the hanida muzar esalov. And the woman who is a nida is also forbidden to have relations with him. Now, since it's certainly true that each of the women will violate a avera of having relations, so each time he has relations, a new prohibition is definitely violated. So logic would dictate, it can definitely be, the argument can be made, that since in that new action, a new prohibition is being violated by that woman. So since she's already violating the prohibition, he would also. But that argument cannot be made with regards to Shabbos. Turn by Shabbos, can you say the same thing with regards to Shabbos? She'ein ba'el azar achas. Over there, there's only one prohibition ever being violated by that one person. There's no second person involved for that argument to be made. Omar Li, Rabbi Eliezer answered back to me, Rabbi Akiva. Habo al ha'katanei suchiach. An identical case, but where the man had relations with five women who were impure as a nidah, and they were all under the age of bas mitzvah. The law in such a case is once again that the man will be liable to five different korbanos chatos, even though, since they are under the age of bas mitzvah, they are not held responsible for their actions, and they would not be liable to bring a korban. So clearly the reason why he becomes liable to bring a new korban each time is not because since they're becoming liable to bring a korban, so he also does. Because they're under the age of bas mitzvah, so they don't become liable to bring a korban. Omar Tiloi, so Rabbi Akiva answered back to him, Loi. That's not a good point, because when we're talking, if you're talking about a man who has relations with five women who are under the age of bas mitzvah, it's true, even though right now, on a totally practical level, they don't become liable to bring a korban right now, but yesh ben lachar zman. Later on, once they become bas mitzvah, if they would perform the identical act, they would become liable to bring a korban. So in terms of the act that they're performing, in the potential, it has the ability to make them liable to a new korban. The fact that in this particular case, they're not actually obligated to go and bring a korban because they're not responsible, that doesn't matter. It's still enough, the fact that that is an act that should really make them liable to bring a korban, that's enough to make the man also be obligated to bring a korban. So that argument returns that because they should really become obligated, that's why he's obligated. So talking about Shabbos, can you then learn from there to a case of Shabbos, she'im bo le'achshav le'achar zman, that there's no other person involved who either now or later will be prohibited and be liable to bring a korban? Omar li, so Rabbi Eliezer answered back to me, so you know what, I'll prove from a different case. Habal habehema, one who has relations with five different animals, which is also forbidden and would make one liable to bring a korban chatos. I hold that the halacha in that case is also that he'll be liable to bring five different korbanos chatos in that case. And over here, obviously the animal is not liable to bring a korban. So you see that the reason why he's liable to bring five different korbanos is not because of this argument that there was another person involved, and that's since they should become liable to bring a korban, that's why he's liable. That's not the reason. Rather, the reason is because he performed five prohibitions, five acts with five different people. So the same should go for Shabbos. If he performed malacha on five different Shabbosos, he'll be liable. So we should be able to prove from that case. Omar Tiloi, Rabbi Akiva said back to him, if that was indeed true, the one who has relations with an animal five times is liable to five different korbanos, then it's true you would have a proof. But you know what? In the same way as I asked the question with regards to Shabbos, Habehemaka Shabbos, I would ask the same question or as regards to Shabbos in this case of having relations with five different animals. On the one hand, it's the same prohibition. On the other hand, it's with five different people. So in the same way as it's five different Shabbosos, just the same prohibition, I have exactly the same doubt as to whether he will be liable to five different korbanos chatos or just to one. Perek Dal Mishnah Aleph. The subject of this perek is a korban oshom tolui, which, as we learned right at the beginning of the Masechta, is brought in a case where somebody is under doubt as to whether he is liable to bring a korban chatos, whether he performed a sin which would make him be liable to bring a korban chatos. And once again, the example which the Mishnah is going to use as the sin which is being performed is one who eats chelev, which is the parts of an animal, the certain fats of an animal, which may not be eaten. So, sovik achal chelev, sovik le'ochal, if he has a doubt whether he ate chelev or not, va'filu ochal, or even if he knows that he ate chelev, but sovik yesh bekashir, sovik she'ein boy, he's in a doubt as to whether he ate the minimum size of the size of an olive, which is necessary to make him liable, or not. So essentially, that's also another example where he's under a doubt as to whether he performed a aveira, a sin, which would make him liable to bring a korban chatos. In such a case, that is when he would be obligated to bring a korban oshom tolui. It should be noted that if somebody finds out later on, after he brings the korban oshom tolui, that he did violate the sin, he needs to bring a korban chatos. The idea of the oshom tolui is not to bring an atonement for him, it's rather to make sure that he won't be punished in case he did violate a aveira. Now the Mishnah paints the exact example which we're talking about. Chelev shum lefonov, if there is a piece of chelev, which is the forbidden fats of an animal, the shumon, that is other fats which are permitted to be eaten. So there are two different pieces, one is forbidden, one is permitted, ochas echa mehen, and somebody ate one of those pieces, he did not realize that one of them was chelev. He thought both of them were permitted. And then later on he finds out that one of them was forbidden. One of them was chelev. He's not sure which one of those two pieces he ate, whether he ate the forbidden fat or the permitted fats. If his wife and his sister are with him in the house, if he had relations with one of them and he's not sure with which one he had relations, and if it was his sister, then it comes out that he unintentionally had relations with a woman who is forbidden for him. Shabbos v'yom chol, v'osam locha b'echad mehen, if there was a Shabbos and then a weekday, so on just sort of as Shabbos is ending, during twilight, when it's a doubt as to whether it's considered to be part of the previous day, or already part of the night, and he performed work during that time. And therefore, v'ein yodua b'ezmen osa, he doesn't know, it's considered a doubt as to whether he performed that work on Shabbos or after Shabbos had already ended. And either way, it was performed unintentionally, meaning he didn't realize it was Shabbos, for example. or he didn't realize that that type of work was forbidden on Shabbos. Either way, in all of these cases, since it's a doubt as to whether he did something which should make him liable to bring a Korban Chatos, maybe Osham Tolui, he is obligated to bring a Korban Osham Tolui out of doubt. Mishnah Beis, Kishem Shem Ochal Chela V'Chela Behenem Echad. In the same way, as if somebody definitely ate two pieces of chelev in one period of being unaware, he performed the identical prohibition twice. In that classic case, he is only liable to bring one korban chatos. Kach alo hoda shalohen, so too for the korban which is brought in a case where he is unsure, i.e. the korban osham tolui, if he performed something, let's say, twice, and is in doubt as to whether both of them were forbidden or not, if it was exactly the same prohibition, exactly the same act, then Einu Mevi'el Osham Echad, he would only be liable to bring one Korban Osham Tolui. And Im Hoysa Yidir Bin Tayem, if he did become aware of the fact that he violated a prohibition, the fact that it was forbidden, in between those two acts, then Kashem Shu Mevi Chatos Kol Echad Ve'Echad, just like in an identical case where he definitely performed the Aveira, he would be liable to bring a Korban Chatos for each one of those acts. Kach, so too, he'd be liable to bring a korban osham tolui for each one separately. An additional comparison, kashem shem ochal chelev v'dam neisar upigol behenem echad. In the same way as if he certainly ate forbidden fats or blood or leftover meat of a korban or meat of a korban which became invalidated due to certain intentions to eat it after the deadline. Meaning he ate different foods which were forbidden for different reasons. They are forbidden under different prohibitions. So even if it was all done behelam echad, in one period of being unaware, he didn't find out in between performing any of the actions that it was forbidden. Nevertheless, since it's different prohibitions, chavakal echad echad, he's liable to a different korban for each of those actions. Kach alohuda shalohen, so too in a case where he's in doubt as to whether he did all of that, maybe Osham Tolui Akol Echad Echad, who would be liable to bring a different Korban Osham Tolui for each of those actions. Continues the Mishnah. Chelev Anosa Lefonov, if somebody has two different pieces of food in front of him, one is Chelev, which is forbidden fats, and one is Noisar, which is a part of a Korban which has been left over past the deadline for eating that Korban. So both of the pieces of food there are forbidden for him. But let's imagine he didn't realize that any of them were forbidden, he thought they were both permitted, and Ochel Echad Mehen, he ate one of them. The Ein Yoduah Ezmen Ochel, he is unsure which one he ate. Did he eat the Chelev or the Noisar? They're both forbidden, but they're forbidden under different prohibitions. Likewise, Ishto Nidor, if his wife is Tomei as a Nidor, the Achoisai and his sister, Imo Babayis, they are both with him in the house, and Shogag Ba'achas Mehen, the Ein Yoduah Ezmen Shogag, he had relations with one of them, which is forbidden, but it was done unintentionally. He thought that he was having relations with his wife, and he didn't realize that she was a nidah. But later on, he finds out that he's actually not sure. Perhaps he had relations with his sister, and even if he had relations with his wife, it was forbidden. So he certainly violated a prohibition here. But once again, he's not sure which prohibition he violated. Shabbos Yom HaKippurim. If Shabbos falls just before Yom Kippur, the Osa Melocha Ben Hashmoshes, and he performs a forbidden kind of work during twilight. So it's the Ein Yoduah Ba'ezmen Osa. It's unknown whether he did that forbidden work on Shabbos or on Yom Kippur. But either way, he certainly performed a forbidden act for which he should be liable to a Korban Chatos. So Rabbi Eliezer Mechayev Chatos, in each of these three cases, Rabbi Eliezer says that he is liable to bring a Korban Chatos. Because either way, he definitely violated an Aveir, which makes him liable to bring a Korban Chatos. However, interestingly, Rabbi Yeshua Peter, Rabbi Yeshua says that he is exempt. Rabbi Yeshua learns from Pesukim that one is only liable to a Korban Chatos. The Pasuk says, "Ahida ilov chatosai," if his sin becomes known to him, "asher chotoba," that he sinned in. Rabbi Yeshua understands that the Pasuk implies that he needs to know which prohibition he violated in order to become liable to bring a Korban Chatos. Now, Rabbi Yossi added and took note of something. Lo nechleku, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua didn't argue in the third case, al ho'isim locha bin hashemoshais, about somebody who performs forbidden work during twilight of Shabbos going into Yom Kippur. Because in that case, even according to Rabbi Eliezer, Shu Potter, he'll be exempt. Because over there, we're not for sure certain that he performed a forbidden act. Rabbi Eliezer's whole logic was that he definitely performed something forbidden, we're just not sure which prohibition. In that case, says Rabbi Yossi, she'ani oimer, I could say miktas melacha osam yayoyim umiktas alamachar. Maybe he performed part of that forbidden work whilst it was still day, and the second half of that same forbidden work he performed the next day, once it was already dark. So if you look at each prohibition of breaking Shabbos and breaking Yom Kippur, he essentially violated only half of each prohibition, which is not enough to make him liable to bring a korban. So what is the third case? What did they argue about in the third case, where he certainly violated an aveiro, which we're just not sure whether it was Shabbos or Yom Kippur? That must be Allah Isam B'Soichayim. It's regarding somebody who performs a forbidden work in the middle of the day. Just the Ein Yodua Im B'Shabbos Asa V'Im Yom Kippurim Asa. It's not known, for example, he forgot whether he performed that work on Shabbos or on Yom Kippur. Or, now he adds on a different case, Allah Isam, or if somebody performed forbidden work on Shabbos, he knows it was on Shabbos, but the Ein Yodua Me'ein Isam Aloch Asa. He's not sure which category of work he performed. Since it's each category which obligates him to bring a korban, like we learnt earlier on, so according to Rabbi Yeshua, he needs to know which category of work he performed. So in this case, Rabbi Eliezer mechayev chatos. Rabbi Eliezer says that he is liable to bring korban chatos since he certainly violated an avera. Rabbi Yeshua says that he's exempt because he is unaware as to which exact prohibition he violated. Or Rabbi Yehuda added, Peter her Rabbi Yeshua af ma'ashem tolu. Rabbi Yeshua exempts him even from bringing a korban ashem tolu in this case, because a korban ashem tolu is only brought if somebody is unaware whether he performed an avera. Over here, he definitely performed an avera, just he doesn't know which type of avera he performed. So it's sort of as if he knows too much to bring a korban ashem tolu, but he doesn't know enough to bring a korban chatos. Mishnah Gimel. This Mishnah brings out a fundamental point as to when exactly the Torah considers something to have been done unintentionally for which he is liable to bring a korban, and when something is considered to be misasek, and he's not liable to bring a korban. Misasek is when somebody, by mistake, does an action. He didn't intend to do that action. The example the Gemara gives is if he thought that something was already detached from the ground, so he wanted to just pick it up on Shabbos, and emerged that actually it was still attached to the ground, so by picking it up, he uprooted it from the ground, which is forbidden on Shabbos. In that case, he's not liable to bring a korban, because he didn't even intend to do an action of uprooting from the ground. When would he be liable to bring a korban? If he intended to uproot it from the ground, he had full intention to do that action, he just didn't want to break Shabbos. He didn't realize that he was breaking Shabbos. Either he didn't realize it was Shabbos, or he didn't realize that it was forbidden to uproot things on Shabbos. But at least he intended to do that particular action. Misasek is where he didn't even intend to do that action, and therefore he's exempt. Now, in the previous Mishnah, we saw that according to Rabbi Yeshua, in order to be liable to bring a korban, one needs to know which type of prohibition he violated. The discussion of our Mishnah is whether he needs to also be aware of the exact action, as will be explained. Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon say, Lo nechlaku, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua in the previous Mishnah didn't argue al dorash rumishem echad in a case of something which is in one category and considered to be the same prohibited act. For example, we're going to see the example of the Mishnah later on. Let's say somebody has two different figs attached to the ground in front of him, and he uproots one of them, and he's unsure later on when he's thinking about it. He's not sure which of the two he uprooted. So he knows that he definitely violated a prohibition of uprooting from the ground on Shabbos. So halachically speaking, he's fully aware of the exact prohibition that he performed. He's just not sure which exact action he did. Did he perform that forbidden act with that fig or with that fig? In this case, say Rabbi Shimon Shazuri and Rabbi Shimon, that everybody agrees, even Rabbi Yeshua Shehu Chayev, he would be liable in that case. In which case did Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yeshua argue about? Al Dovor Shehu Mishum Shnei Shemois, in a case where there are two different categories, which either means that he's unsure of which type of work on Shabbos he performed or of which prohibition he violated. Although the truth is, this even includes a case where he's unsure whether he uprooted, let's say, a fig, or he uprooted and harvested wheat. So in this case, the category of work is the same. The prohibition is the same. However, they are slightly different acts. In this case, Rabbi Yeshua would say you're exempt. Rabbi Eliezer mechayev chatos, Rabbi Eliezer says that you're liable to bring korban chatos, Rabbi Yeshua peiter, Rabbi Yeshua exempts. So not only does Rabbi Yeshua require that you know which prohibition you violated, like in the previous Mishnah, he also requires that you know which type of act that you performed. Now, Rabbi Yehuda says, "Afilu niskaven lakit te'enim lekit anovim," which we're going to translate according to the Gemara, to mean that even if he intended to first harvest figs and then olives, but in the end he did it in the opposite order. Or another milicate anim, he intended to first harvest and pick the grapes and then to do the figs, but instead he reversed the order and first he harvested the figs and then the olives. Excuse me, the grapes. Or shechayrus milicate levonos, levonos milicate shechayrus. He intended to first harvest and pick the black ones, the black figs, and then to do the white ones, but he reversed the order, or if it was the opposite, he wanted to do the white ones first, and then the black ones, but he reversed the order. Even in this case, Rabbi Eliezer mechayev chatos, Rabbi Eliezer says that you're liable to a korban chatos, Rabbi Yeshua poter, Rabbi Yeshua exempts him, even though he intended to do those two exact actions, but in a different order. That's enough, according to Rabbi Yeshua, to exempt him from bringing a korban chatos. However, Rabbi Yehuda said, Tomea ani im yifter bar Rabbi Yeshua. I wonder and I can't understand why Rabbi Yeshua would say that you're exempt in that case. Not only did he know the prohibition he was performing, the prohibition that he did perform, and he knows the exact actions that he performed, and even at the time that he performed those actions, he intended to perform both actions, just in a different order. Since at the end of the day, when he performed each action by itself, he intended to do a slightly different action, that shouldn't be enough to exempt him. Now the Mishnah says, im kein, if so, according to what Rabbi Yehuda is saying, Loma ne'emar shechotabo. Why does the pasuk say that he needs to know the exact sin that he sinned in? Be sure to learn from this pasuk that you have to have the intention to do that exact action when you're performing it. So Rabbi Yeshua's opinion does make sense, since when he performed that particular action, he didn't want to do it. He wanted to pick black figs instead, let's say, so he should be exempt. The Mishnah answers no. What that pasuk is teaching us is that prat lamisasek is coming to exclude somebody who doesn't intend at all to do something which is forbidden. Like the example we gave where somebody wants to lift something up from the ground, he didn't want to perform any forbidden action at all, and it emerged that it was attached to the ground, so by picking it up, he was uprooting it from the ground. The pasuk is excluding that case. In that case, he would definitely be exempt. Rabbi Yehuda was reasoning that in a case where he was intending to perform a forbidden act, just in a slightly different order, that should logically not exempt him from bringing a korban chatos.